பூர்லோகஹ கல்பிதஹ பத்வ்யாம் புவர்லோகோஸ்ய நாபிதஹ ஹ்ருதாஸ்வர்லோக புரஸா மஹர்லோகோ மஹாத்மநாஹ பூர்லோகஹ கல்பித பத்வ்யாம் புவர்லோகோஸ்ய நாபித ஹ்ருதாஸ்வர்லோக உரசா மஹர்லோகோ மஹாத்மனஹ பூர்லோகஹ கல்பித பத்வ்யாம் புவர்லோகோஸ்ய நாபித ஹ்ருதாஸ்வர்லோக உரசா மஹர்லோகோ மஹாத்மனா. Word meaning Buhu, the lower planetary systems up to the stratum of the earth, Lokah, the planets, Kalpitah, it is so imagined or said, Padvyam, out of the legs, Buvah, the upper, Lokah, the planetary system, Asya, of him the Lord, Nabitah, from the navel abdomen, Rida, by the heart, Swarlokah, the planetary systems occupied by the demigods. Urasa, by the chest. Maharlokaha, the planetary system occupied by the great sages and saints. Mahatmanaha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The lower planetary systems up to the limit of the earthly stratum are said to be situated in his legs. The middle planetary systems beginning from Bhuvarloka are situated in his navel. And the still higher planetary systems occupied by the demigods and highly cultured sages and saints are situated in the chest of the Supreme Lord. Purport: there are 14 spheres of planetary systems within the universe. The lower systems are called Bhur Loka, the middle systems are called Bhur Loka, and the higher planetary systems up to Brahma Loka, the highest planetary system of the universe, are called Swara Loka. And all of them are situated on the body of the Lord. In other words, no one within this universe is without a relationship with the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkrupatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarupyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Yonta pravishya mama vacham imam prasuptan sanjivayat akila shakti dhara swadhamna anyam shahasta charana shravana tvagadin pranan namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam katanchana smrite yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet vismrite viparitam sya shri chaitanya namamitam. Hare Krishna. We welcome all devotees and guests for our Sunday festival program and for the morning Bhagavatam class. And today we are reading from a very beautiful section, second canto, fifth chapter, the cause of all causes. And in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying very emphatically that in this world, in this material world, everybody has a relationship with the Lord. There is no one who doesn't have a relationship with the Lord. This is like very, very hope-giving. And also, that means what? That means basically, it means even an insect have a relationship with the Lord. Even Brahma, you know, Brahma has a relationship with the Lord. But not just Brahma, you know. Everyone. So this is like, I just want to read that sentence again. Text number 38, No one within the universe is without a relationship with the Lord. That means we all have a relationship. And this is such a beautiful topic of how we could revive our relationship, how we could experience Krishna's presence in our lives. So if we have time, we will get into that topic. But I was thinking, since today is also a very auspicious day of the disappearance day of Jagadish Pandit and Srila Jiva Goswami, let us discuss about their relationship with the Lord so that, you know, we get purified. And then if we have time, we will also understand about how we can revive our relationship with Krishna. One of the ways to revive our relationship with Krishna is to hear about the pure devotees who have a relationship with Krishna. then we also get excited, we also get enthusiastic that I also want to revive my relationship with Krishna. So one such illustrious devotee was Srila Jagadish Pandit. Today Jagadish Pandit's disappearance day. So Jagadish Pandit in Gaur Leela, he was a very special devotee. He was an intimate associate of both Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was also in the pastimes of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Like, you know, in like Paniyati Chidadai festival, he was there. And he also was associating with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very closely. So he's a very, very special devotee. And in Krishna Leela, there are two versions. Gaur Ganadesh Deepika explains, Kavi Karnapur explains that he was one of the Nagapatnis who were very, very dear to Krishna. They offered beautiful prayers. They were pure devotees of Krishna. Also, another place it is mentioned, his name is in the Krishna Leela, Chandrahasa, who was one of the Brahmana Patnis who offered food to Krishna. I mean, Krishna was hungry. And the Brahmanas said, they neglected the boys. They didn't give prasad to Krishna. They didn't give food to Krishna. So that time, the Brahmana wives, they ran to Krishna. Chaturvidha Bahuganam Annam Adaya Bhajane. So they ran with food for Krishna. And one of them was Jagadish Pandit. And the other second was other lady. One of the other women who also was running was Hiranya Pandit. They came as brothers. And they were very close to Jagannath Mishra, father of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Lord Chaitanya was a small baby, he would always cry. He would perform this pastime of crying. And people would try to pacify him, but baby Nimai would never stop crying. The only time he would stop crying was when everyone came together and did kirtan and chanted, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So then this became a regular pastime. Lord Chaitanya would cry, and devotees would come and they would chant Hare Krishna and Nimai would stop crying. But one day something interesting happened. Lord Chaitanya was crying and the ladies in the neighborhood, everybody thought, oh, he wants us to chant Hare Krishna. So they chanted Hare Krishna, but Nimai didn't stop crying. He started crying more. So they were bewildered. They chanted more and Nimai was crying more. So finally Jagannath Mishra, Sachi Devi, they said, oh Nimai, why are you crying so much? Tell us, why are you crying? We are chanting Hare Krishna for your happiness. Still you are crying. What do you want? That time, Lord Chaitanya, baby Nimai said, nearby Jagadish Pandit has cooked a special feast for Lord Krishna. I want to eat that feast. Everyone was shocked. Because it was Ekadashi that day. And secondly, Jagadish Pandit was staying a little far from Lord Chaitanya's house. And thirdly, how does this baby Nimai know that there is a feast there? So then Jagannath Mishra went to Jagadish Pandit's house and he was surprised. Jagadish Pandit had actually indeed cooked a big feast for his Krishna deity. So then he was surprised, he was happy. And then he happily gave that prasad and then Nimai ate that prasad and was completely satisfied. So this is continuation of the pastime of Krishna Leela where the Brahmana Patnis offered beautiful prasad for Krishna. So like this, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reciprocated with Jagadish Pandit. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also instructed him to go to Jagannath Puri before he took sannyas. And also Mahaprabhu instructed him to preach. So he was a very... He was a recipient of personal instructions of Lord Chaitanya. In fact, once when he was leaving Jagannath Puri, he was feeling so much separation from Lord Jagannath that I am going away from Puri and I am going to miss Jagannath. He was crying intensely. So it's a very, very unique pastime. So at one particular place when he took rest, Jagannath appeared in his dream, a vision Jagannath gave, saying that you are missing me so much, so go back to Jagannath Puri. And meet the head pujari there of the Jagannath temple. I have already instructed him what to do. So what had Jagannath done? He had told the head pujari of Jagannath temple, he had come in his dream and said, there is Navakalevaram. Every 12 years Jagannath's deity gets changed. So the Lord Jagannath had told this chief priest that my old deity form, from which you now transfer me to this new deity, so that deity you give to Jagadish Pandit. So that was a very, very special pastime. So then when he went there, he got this huge deity of Jagannath. And he had to get two other brahmanas, and they all were carrying this deity to his village where he worshipped Jagannath for many, many years. The place called Chakada. That is a place where Bhagirath Rishi, he had buried his chariot wheel when he brought Ganga down to earth. So Chakradaha it was, then it became Chakada. Also the place where Pradyumna killed Sambara Rakshas, Asura. So there he made a beautiful temple of Jagannath. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there to take darshan of Jagannath. And Mahaprabhu danced, chanted. And when Mahaprabhu was leaving, Jagdish Pandit and his good wife Dukini Mataji, they were very sad, they were crying. And then Lord Chaitanya gave them Gaur Gopal Diti, which they worshipped for many years. And then Jagdish Pandit's son, Rambhadra Goswami, also went on to become a very legendary Vaishnava. So today is his disappearance day. Jagdish Pandit Vaishnava Thakur ki jai. Today is also the disappearance day of one of the principal six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Srila Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami is very, very special. Srila Prabhupada said, Gaudiya Vaishnavism is the highest philosophy and Jiva Goswami is the greatest philosopher. And the best part of Jiva Goswami is not only the greatest philosopher, but greatest devotee also. And wonderful service mood, attitude. So we'll briefly discuss his pastimes also and then we'll enter the purport. So Jiva Goswami, okay, he himself in his, I think, one place he gives the genealogy table of his family. It's an amazing, interesting, fascinating story of his family. So Jiva Goswami is one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, principal six Goswamis. They are from the very, very reputed, famous Gauda Saraswat Brahmin family from Karnataka, GSB community, a very, very pious, devotional family. And the history goes back to, I think, 13th century. So there was a king in Karnataka called Sarvagya Jagat Guru. So he was a Brahmana king. And he was very well versed in Vedas and great scholar, great devotee of Krishna. And he ruled the entire state of Karnataka. And his son Aniruddha Deva was also equally charismatic, popular, powerful. And Aniruddha Deva, it is said that he had the spirit of Indra and the fame of Chandra. Very, very powerful ruler. And he ruled for many, many years. And he had two very special sons. Rupeshwar and Harihar. So Rupeshwar was absorbed in scriptures and devotional mood. And Harihar became expert in military warfare and martial arts and all that science of governance. So over a period of time, although Harihar was younger, he became the ruler. He became the ruler. And Rupeshwar, with his wife and family, they left Karnataka and they settled in Orissa, Bengal area. That's how the family moved from Karnataka. And then Rupeshwar had many children, and one of them was Padmanabha Dev. Padmanabha Dev is said to be a very great devotee of Lord Jagannath. And he performed many yajnas and many worship of Jagannath, and Jagannath blessed him with how many children? 18 daughters and 5 sons. And the youngest son was Mukunda Dev. Mukunda Dev also was an exemplary Vaishnava. He had several children. And Mukunda Dev's youngest son was Kumara Dev. And Kumara Dev left Bengal and he went to modern day Bangladesh, Fatihabad, where there were many Vaishnavas because he had some, I think, financial challenges at that time. And there in Fatihabad, he married a very chaste, devotional Vaishnavi, Revati Devi. And Kumara Deva and Revati Devi had 3 special sons, Amar, Santosh and Sri Vallabh. So Amar went on to become Rupa Goswami, Amar is Sanatan Goswami, Santosh is Srila Rupa Goswami, and Sri Vallabh is Anupama. And Anupama's son is Jiva Goswami. This is the genealogical table. So you can imagine what a illustrious family. So of the six Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatan are the principal Goswamis, and Jeev Goswami is their nephew. You got the whole table? So they are our most worshipable heroes. Actually, there is one place where Srila Prabhupada says, without the blessings of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, you see their deity is also kept in the altar. Without their blessings, when we pray or when we do devotional activities, our devotional activities is like a person lost in the desert and crying loudly. If somebody is shouting and screaming loudly in desert and there is nobody around, what help he will get? So without the blessings of six Goswamis, our devotional activities is useless. We need their blessings. So Jeev Goswami is a nephew of Rupa and Sanatana. And how he met or he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's principal associates. So there's a very beautiful pastime. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already taken sannyas, and Amar and Santosh, they were so talented, so brilliant, that Nawab Hussain Shah, who was the emperor of Bengal. Now Bengal at that time was covering a lot of northeastern states also. It was basically bigger than three or four European countries put together in modern time. Very huge country. Nawab Hussain Shah was the principal emperor. And he had a prime minister and finance minister. And that was Amar and Santosh. And he was so pleased with both of their talent. And they didn't want to serve him. They didn't want to serve Nawab Hussain Shah. But he started persecuting the Hindus. And then to protect the Hindu community, because he wanted both of them. Because he knew that they are very talented, very intelligent, very sharp. So he told them, if you don't join me, I will continue my persecution to the Hindus. So then to protect the Hindu community, they joined, both of them. And they were so good that Nawab Hussain Shah completely trusted them, both of them. In fact, he awarded them titles. He gave them Dabir Khas and Sakhar Malik. It's a very prestigious title during those days. Nowadays, you may not understand the importance of that. Like nowadays, we have, no, it's Padma Shri, Padma Vibhushan, we say. You know, if before a name, if you say Bharat Ratna, oh, he's got such a big title. Similarly, at that time, Dabir Khas and Sakhar Malik was a very big, prestigious title given to Amar and Santosh. And they were great devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And of course, even Sri Vallabh was with them in the government service. So three of them were serving. So they wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya. And they were writing constantly letters. In fact, what an amazing family. Their parents were also praying, oh Krishna, please release our children from this government service. Anybody would be happy, you know, if their children are prime minister, finance minister. But they didn't want their children to serve this Yavana king, who was not a good king. So they were also praying. So even they, both of them, they wrote letters. Sri Vallabh was there with them. We are taking them together. But generally, the pastimes are described as Rupa Sanatan's pastimes. But Sri Vallabh was there. And Jeev Goswami is his son. So Rupa Sanatan or Amar and Santosh, they kept writing letters to Lord Chaitanya. Oh, Mahaprabhu, please give us shelter. We want to be released from this bondage of government service. We want to serve you. And what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's response? He would not reply only to the letter. And they kept writing. And finally, one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote a very mysterious letter. One line. Only one line reply. What did Mahaprabhu write? When a girl is attached to a man other than her husband, she will serve her husband even more carefully so that he doesn't suspect her. Bas itna hi likha. And both of them read that and they understood what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying. They understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, continue to serve Nawab Hussain Shah quietly till the right time comes. Basically, samajhne wale ko ishara kafi hai. Indirect communication. So Mahaprabhu wrote that cryptic letter. And they continued the service. And Mahaprabhu was going from, Jagannath Puri to, I think, he was going to Vrindavan. Now it is interesting, when he was going to Vrindavan, suddenly he took a detour. For no logical explanation, he went to Ramkeli, the capital of Nawab Hussain Shah, where Amar and Santosh were staying. Now everybody was like, where was the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? They're wondering, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going that side? They didn't know. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going there because he wanted to meet these special, three special personalities. So when he came there at Ramkeli, Amar Santosh and Sri Vallabh, they met Lord Chaitanya. But they were so humble, they didn't meet directly Lord Chaitanya. They went first to Nityanand Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, servant of servant. They went like that. And then they got audience of Lord Chaitanya. And they presented themselves as very, very fallen, very insignificant. They begged for mercy. Please give us blessings. Please accept us. That was the first time they met. And there Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said something very beautiful. There's a series of verses where Lord Chaitanya, Shuni Mahaprabhu kahe, shuno dabir khas, tumi dui bhai mora puratan das. Oh, Dabir ka, Sakar Malik, get up, listen to me. You are my very, very old servants. Today I give you initiation. And what initiation names he gave? Aji hoite duar naam roop sanatan. Denya chada tomar denya phate mora man. He's telling them that today, from today onwards, your name will be Roop Goswami, Rupa and Sanatan. And denya chada, because they were very humble. See, when we take initiation, the guru looks straight into our eyes. Those of you who have taken initiation, you know, we tremble in front of guru. And the guru wants to see whether I will be humble. So, we say, after our vows, we say, and I aspire to be humbly serving the servant of servants. Aisa karke hum bolte. I want to really be humble and servant. Then the guru is happy. Okay, you want to be humble. You are humble. That humility guru is seeing. But this is, I think, the only initiation. And the first and the last initiation in, you know, in our parampara, where the person giving shelter initiation, Lord Chaitanya is telling Rupa Sanatan, Dainya Chad, give up your humility. Because your humility is breaking my heart. You are so humble. So you can imagine, Sanatan Goswami is also said to be exemplifying humility. So, and then Mahaprabhu glorified them. And then there are verses which says how everybody, Dui Janer Prabhur Kripa Deki, Bhakta Gane, Hari Hari Bole Sab Anandita Mane. Everybody, all the other devotees, they did not feel insecure. Hare, eto new bhakta hai, abhi abhi aaye. And Mahaprabhu is glorifying them so much. Mahaprabhu is embracing them. No, they were, the other devotees are also very happy to see these two new people who have just come, they are getting so much mercy of. And now Rupa Sanatan did not think, see, we are so special. We got such intimate association of Lord Chaitanya. No, they sabara charane dari pade dui bhai sab bole danya tumi paile gosai. They fell at the feet of all the Vaishnavas, saying that no, don't glorify us. We are actually very, very fallen. We want your mercy also. So like that, this is a beautiful Vaishnava culture we get to see in this pastime. So like this, they met. So when they were meeting, Sri Vallabha, Mahaprabhu gave him the name Anupam. So he was known as Anupam, Rupa and Sanatan. The three of them, when they were meeting Lord Chaitanya, there was a small boy who was watching this entire meeting. And that small boy was son of Anupam. He was Sri Jiva. And when he saw Lord Chaitanya and the exchanges of his uncles and his father, his heart was completely captivated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he decided there and then, that I will dedicate my life to serving Lord Chaitanya. So then, Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Sanatan to be in Vrindavan and excavate the holy places, write scriptures. So Rupa Sanatan were serving there. And once Rupa Goswami was coming to Jagannath Puri with Anupam, and on the way, Anupama, the verse is Ganga Prapti Hoila, he left his body, Anupam, went back to the spiritual world. So this news shattered Sri Jiva. He was so attached to his father, who was a wonderful Vaishnava, and he was absorbed in Krishna because of his father. So then Sri Jiva decided that I will dedicate my life completely to serve and assist my uncles, Rupa and Sanatan, who are in Vrindavan. And from then on, normally children play with toys, they play different sports. But Jiva was totally attached to worshipping Krishna Balaram deities. See, he saw Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu at Ramkeli as a small boy. And who is Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda? They're Krishna Balaram. So his heart was captivated by Krishna Balaram. So he used to worship these deities. You know, he had Krishna Balaram dolls as a young boy. You would worship them, bathe them, feed them, dress them. And so attached to Krishna Balaram. And then over the years, as he was growing up, one day in the night, he had a very extraordinary vision. Krishna Balaram appeared, they gave him this vision in their transcendental form. And Krishna Balaram transformed into Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in his dream. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered him in the dream to Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda told him that make Lord Chaitanya as your life and soul. Then he woke up with a start and he was profusely crying. And that's when his desire became intense in his heart to run to Vrindavan and serve his uncles, Rupa and Sanatan. So as he was leaving for Vrindavan, he suddenly got an inspiration and a desire to go to Navadvip first. Because in Mayapur, Mahaprabhu had performed his pastime. So he came to Sridham Mayapur, and when he came, he inquired about Srivast Thakur's house, and he came to Srivast Thakur's house where Lord Nityananda was also staying. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already left the world. So Nityananda Prabhu and Jiva Goswami's second meeting, actually, technically, they met there at Srivast Thakur's house, and Lord Nityananda profusely blessed Jiva Goswami and told him that Lord Chaitanya has given Vrindavan as a inheritance to your uncles. So you go there and assist them. But before you go to Vrindavan, so what Lord Nityananda did, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Navadvip Dhamatma explains in great detail that Lord Nityananda took Jiva Goswami to all the holy 9 islands of Navadvip, and he did all parikrama of Navadvip Mandal. That was a very beautiful pastime and descriptions given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And after that, and Lord Nityananda also took Jiva Goswami to the house of Sachi Mata, where Vishnu Priya was also there. And Vamsivadan was there, who was assisting and serving Sachi Mata and Vishnu Priya. So they prepared nice prasadam for Jiva Goswami. And Jiva, after this amazing, spiritually uplifting sangha, he went to Vrindavan. And when he came to Vrindavan, there was a very joyous welcome. All the Goswamis were waiting for him there. And he surrendered to Srila Sanatana Goswami, because Sanatana Goswami was the senior most. And Sanatana Goswami, out of his humility, he told Jiva, no, I cannot give you shelter and initiation. You take shelter of Rupa Goswami, his younger brother. And Jiva Goswami took shelter of Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami, what did he do? He engaged Jiva Goswami in menial service. Very important point. Before coming to Vrindavan, Lord Nityananda told Jiva Goswami that he first go to Banaras, Varanasi. And from Madhusudan Vachaspati, who was a disciple of Saram Bhattacharya, who was a very intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda Prabhu told him that you learn grammar, Sanskrit, everything deeply from Madhusudan Vachaspati, who was also a great devotee. From there you go to Vrindavan. So when he came as a 19-year-old, 20-year-old boy, that he just completed his teens, Jiva Goswami. So when he came to Vrindavan, there was this amazing welcome, and then now he was greatest scholar, because in Varanasi, Jiva Goswami's fame had spread everywhere. He was considered as the greatest scholar. But when he's in Vrindavan with Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and the other Goswamis, he is rendering menial service in the mood of servant of servant. So he would make, you know, like Srila Rupa Goswami is worshipping Radha Govind Diti. So Rupa Goswami is also writing a lot of scriptures. So during those times, to write, they had to prepare, write on palm leaves. So those palm leaves had to be, you know, prepared in a certain way. They had to be dried. So Jiva Goswami would do all that menial seva. He would clean the deity worship paraphernalia for Rupa Goswami. He would make garlands. He would be cooking. And this is how he attracted lot of blessings and mercy of Rupa and Sanatana. This menial service. Actually, if you see, our entire process of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is, we may learn scripture very deeply, but the mood is to serve. That is why if you see last Sunday, we had an amazing Saturday, we had Pushyabhishek. Sunday morning, Maharaj, His Holiness Radhanaswami Maharaj was giving, here only he was giving class. And he began the class in the middle of the class and end of the class. The whole class was in this mood of servant or servant. He said, last night we had such a big festival. Everybody enjoyed flower petals, showering and dancing, kirtan, Pushyabhishek. But do you see even one single flower petal now? He was asking. The chandeliers, can you see? Because there are some devotees who were doing such amazing seva immediately after the festival. They were absorbed in seva, cleaning. So Maharaj noticed that. And he said a very profound statement. He said, you know, we were seeing the deities being bathed with the flowers. And now the curtain, in that time, the curtain was closed. So Maharaj said, now the curtain is closed. So you may be thinking, now the Lord is not, we can't see the Lord. But please know, even when the altar is closed, the Lord is seeing. So after all of you went away in the night, Pushabhishek festival was over, the altar was closed, but Radha Gopinath was looking at all these devotees who were cleaning, who were removing the all the flower petals. So like that, Maharaj was appreciating so much. So Jiva Goswami is a great scholar. He knew everything. He knew the Bhagavatam very well. But he was doing this menial seva and he attracted the blessings of Rupa and Sanatana. In fact, I remember last Sunday, Maharaj was glorifying Devanand Pandit. That Devanand Pandit is a great Vaishnava. But before he Mahaprabhu accepted him, there was a pastime where Devanand Pandit was also guilty of the offense that happened to Shivas Thakur. So Maharaj was saying, Devanand Pandit knew everything about Srimad Bhagavatam. And his disciples, students also knew everything about Bhagavatam except the purpose of Bhagavatam. Which is to be servant of devotees. So like that, very beautifully Maharaj emphasized this. So this is our parampara. So Jiva Goswami is embodying this. And Rupa Goswami was so happy, pleased with the Jiva Goswami's service that Rupa Goswami himself personally carved the beautiful deity of Radha Damodar. And he gifted this, he gave this as a blessing to Jiva Goswami. And then Jiva Goswami would serve Radha Damodar. And Radha Damodar and Jiva Goswami would have many pastimes. Sometimes Radha Damodar would call Jiva Goswami and say, and play flute for him. And he would hear Radha Damodar playing flute. And he would worship Radha Damodar personally. And there's an amazing pastime which we should remember on Jiva Goswami's disappearance day especially. Is one day, one very big scholar named Rupa Narayan came to Vrindavan. He was always going with this certificate. Anybody he would debate, he would defeat that person. And that person had to sign a Vijaya Patra certificate saying that I have been defeated by Rupa Narayan. So Rupa Narayan was a conquering Pandit, debater. So he came to Vrindavan and he heard that the greatest Vaishnavas, who are the greatest devotees there, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. So he went to them and said, I want to have a debate. And if you defeat me, then you are the greatest scholars. And if you lose to me, then you have to sign this certificate that you have been defeated by Rupa Narayan. And what was Rupa Sanatan's response? They said, we are insignificant. What glories you heard about us is all exaggerated. We are not so, we don't know all this. You are only great. So he said, if you agree that I am great, then sign this certificate. So Rupa Sanatan had nothing. See, they didn't want any name fame. See, nowadays what is happening? Nowadays, we are living in 21st century where popularity and fame is the driving force. Every day we put so many photographs on Instagram and or Facebook. We want likes. We are always looking at approval of the world. But when somebody is deeply connected to Krishna, for him fame is just, it is coming and going. He is not, doesn't take it seriously. See, I know some devotees who are very popular on social media. They have millions of followers. And when I spoke to them, they said, all of them share this. They say, Prabhuji, we are convinced. That, see, every one of us, we have something unique which we can serve Krishna with. There is, all of us have worth, right? All of us have something to give, serve Krishna and devotee. We all have some worth. So, social media is a platform where we share what we have, the worth that we have. But unfortunately, what is happening now, for many people, social media has become the platform to get worth. There is a very big difference between these two. You understand what I'm saying? Like, okay, you have something special, you have, and you are sharing that in the social media as a service. That is what all the devotees I know who are very popular on social media, they are doing. But there are many immature people, they think, oh, I should also become popular. I should also become famous. This is very dangerous. Because this fame is very, very, very insignificant. Even if you become the most famous person, you still will be dissatisfied. That has got nothing to do with love. Being loved and being popular are two different things. So Rupa and Sanatan didn't want any fame of this world. They were happy with Krishna. So they told Rupa Narayan that, you know, we'll sign the certificate. They happily signed the certificate. What an amazing pastime. They didn't want anything. See, even if you become famous, I was recently reading something on Virat Kohli has 265 million followers. That's a big number, no? 265 million followers. And Ronaldo was asked, do you know Virat Kohli? And he said, what? What is he? He doesn't know Virat Kohli. So then he had to be told, he is from India. Acha? He didn't know. Then if it is a cricket player, he didn't know. Then he was shown photograph. I know him. Because photograph is, you know, is there everywhere. So then that's how he came to know. In 2014, Maria Sharapova, she was a very famous tennis player that time. She was asked, you know about Sachin Tendulkar? He is god of cricket. Bharat Ratna, the greatest celebrity sport. And she said, who is Sachin Tendulkar? She didn't know. So that time, very big trending on social media was, all Indians were asking, who is Maria Sharapova? They wanted to take revenge. So they were all very upset that she doesn't know this. But I'm just trying to say that we are talking about all sports personalities only here. It's in the same field, but they don't know the people who are so popular. Let's like in India, many people may not know who is Bill Gates or who is Justin Bieber. We may not know. So the popularity and fame we are seeking is so insignificant. So Rupa Sanatan wanted a deep relationship with Krishna. So they happily signed a certificate. So he was very happy. As he was going, he learned, Hare, both of them to signed easily, but I have heard that they have a nephew, Jiva Goswami, and he's very young. And he's already very popular. And he's very powerful, very big scholar. So I should defeat him also, otherwise he'll grow up and he'll become undefeatable afterwards. Now only I will go and catch him. So he was in the bank of Yamuna. So he went and told Jiva Goswami that, so I am Rupa Narayan, I have this certificate. So if you get defeated by me, sign this certificate or debate with me anyway. And Jiva Goswami was also not interested in debating with him. But what did Rupa Narayan say? I have anyway defeated your uncles, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. They have accepted defeat, see? They have signed here. So you can also, if you want debate, and if you lose, you also will have to sign. So Jiva Goswami was not interested only in debating. He was also absorbed in devotional service. But when he heard that he is saying he has defeated whom? Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. And he felt, he could see how arrogant this scholar was. So he said, I accept your challenge. Why did Jiva Goswami accept the challenge? To uphold the honor and dignity of his uncles. He didn't want such a puffed up, upstart scholar to demean his uncles, who are great Vaishnavas. He said, they are out of humility, they did not want to debate with you. So then Jiva Goswami debated with Rupa Narayan. It went on for 7 days. At the end of that 7 days, Rupa Narayan was thoroughly annihilated. He was totally defeated. And humbly, he left Vrindavan, never to come again. And when Rupa Goswami came to know that his nephew Jiva Goswami had defeated Rupa Narayan and humbled him and driven him out of Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami was very happy. No. He called Jiva Goswami and said, you wasted time with such scholarship, mundane scholarship, and you are proud. That's why you debated with him. And those who have pride, they have no place in Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami said, Rupa Goswami banished him out of Vrindavan. His own nephew, disciple. And he did this for two reasons. One is to teach us, all of us, the mood in which we should do devotional service. And secondly, to tell the world the glories of Jiva Goswami. See, we would not know Jiva Goswami's glories. When he sent Jiva Goswami away, Jiva Goswami did not think, he did not defend. He just accepted his fault. It's a very important difference. He did not say, I'll go and join some other spiritual organization. You know, what is this? You know, this is, you are not understanding me. No, he felt very sad that I am so proud. And then Jiva Goswami left. He went outside Mathura. There, he was doing devotional service. Chanting whole day and night. Doing tapasya. In repentance that he had offended his guru. That was his mood. See, that is the point I'm saying. Humility. Look at the scholarship. See, either you are a great scholar or you are very humble. You have to have both. That is Jiva Goswami. Unparalleled humility and unparalleled scholarship. So then Sanatana Goswami one day called Rupa Goswami and said, Rupa Goswami, I think you are forgetting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's three most important instructions. Everybody knows what are the three instructions Mahaprabhu gave. Mahaprabhu said, Vaishnav Seva means what? Service to Vaishnavas. Second, Namaruchi, chanting of the holy names. And third, Jiva Daya means compassion to living entities. So Rupa Goswami said, what are the three? I have not forgotten the three instructions. So then Sanatana Goswami said, what are those three? So then Rupa Goswami said, Vaishnav Seva, Namaruchi, third, Jiva Daya. So then Rupa Goswami said, Jiva Daya. He understood the double meaning there. Sanatana Goswami was saying, are you compassionate to Jiva? Your own nephew, disciple? And then Rupa Goswami, it was an epiphany for him. He immediately got up, he went to Mathura, he picked up Jiva Goswami, embraced him and brought him back to Vrindavan, and then Jiva Goswami continued to serve. And another time, Sri Vallabhacharya, who was actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's equal and senior to Rupa Sanatan, and he came to Vrindavan, and Rupa Goswami was writing Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, and he wanted some help editing. So then, Vallabhacharya is a senior Vaishnava, and he was reading it. So then Rupa Goswami said, can you help me edit this properly? So he said, okay, I will go through some technical corrections are there. You know, typical writing mein hota hai. So he took that, and when Vallabhacharya was going, he met Jiva Goswami. So they were talking. So then Vallabhacharya said, your uncle, Rupa Goswami, has given me this Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu manuscript, and he has asked me to make some corrections. Technical, there are some... Actually, there is no fault in your uncle's composition. Rupa Goswami is perfect. It is just that there is a better understanding, better way of writing certain things. So this is, I'm going to do the editing. So very humbly, Jiva Goswami said, very humbly, he said, no, actually what Rupa Goswami is writing is actually perfect if you see it from another way. So then he gave a other understanding. And he pointed out how the original manuscript which Rupa Goswami has composed is actually correct. So he showed him, nahi, ye technically change karne ka zarurat nahi hai. Ye toh aisa hai. And then Vallabhacharya said, yeah, perfect. You are right. Oh, I overlooked this. So Vallabhacharya was very grateful to Jiva Goswami, who very humbly pointed out how his spiritual master's original composition was perfect. So Vallabhacharya returned the manuscript to Rupa Goswami, saying that your composition has no, doesn't need any correction. It is perfect. So Rupa Goswami said, but why? He said, no, I spoke to your disciple, Jiva Goswami, and he explained to me and I understood. So again, Rupa Goswami called for Jiva Goswami and said, Vallabhacharya is my senior, respectable. How dare, and he wanted to do a service of helping, of correcting my work. And how dare you, explain to him like this? You have pride. Get out of Vrindavan. So that time, Jiva Goswami went to Nandagad. And there, in a crocodile hole, a hole that was abandoned by a crocodile, there he was living. And this time he did such intense tapasya. You know what Jiva Goswami was doing? He was not eating, not drinking. Once in a few days, some atta he would take, mix it with water, and just take a little bit of that very dry atta. And all day and night he would chant, and he got ulcers. His body was emaciated, and only thing he was doing was constantly chanting Hare Krishna. So during this time, they would, now Rupa and Sanatana did not even know where was Jiva Goswami. Yet Jiva Goswami felt so guilty that I am such an offender. He saw his own fault. And Sanatana Goswami, is very special for one reason. He is known as Guru of Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami is loved by everybody in Vrindavan. He is considered as the father of all the Brajavasis. He would go to different houses. Sanatana Goswami, people would call him Baba. So Sanatana Goswami would talk to them about their household life. Acha, aapka fasal kaisa hai is saal? And they would talk in detail about his crops. And then Sanatana Goswami would say, acha, then they would say, Baba, they would tell Sanatana Goswami, Baba, meri beti ka shadi nahi ho raha hai. And then Sanatana Goswami would discuss which alliance, how. So Sanatana Goswami was like, all the Brijavasis would come to Sanatana Goswami for so much guidance, shelter. So this may not be directly, you may think it's not Krishna Katha. But Raghunathas Goswami in his Brajalila Stava, he writes very beautifully that I would love to hear the gossip and prajalpa of the Brajavasis because that is also pure Krishna Katha. So Sanatana Goswami was very, very dear. So when he was traveling, and Sanatana Goswami is very austere. So when he was at Nandagad, so the Brajavasis told him, you know, we have one Babaji here. He thought, oh, Sanatana Goswami Babaji, we thought you are the so austere. But there is one Babaji here who is also very, very austere. And they described his, what he is doing, how he is crying and how he is chanting. So when he heard, Sanatana Goswami understood this is Jiva Goswami. He ran, he embraced him and brought him, and Nrupa Goswami came. And then they lived happily ever after in Vrindavan. They were serving there. So Jiva Goswami would serve Radha Damodar, would assist Rupa Sanatana. And after Rupa Sanatana left this world, Jiva Goswami became the main leader of all the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan. And was respected by everyone for his scholarship, for his humility. And Janva Devi, she wrote to him saying that the books of all the Goswamis and all our Vaishnava books should be treasured and preserved. So he had three very special students. All of you know this. First was Shyamananda Pandit. Shyamananda Pandit was actually Dukhi Krishnadas. He was a disciple of Hridaya Chaitanya. He was his student. Also, Srinivas Acharya, who was a disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, also studying under Jiva Goswami. And there is one more. Narottam Das Thakur, who was a disciple of Loknath Goswami. So these three were very specially chosen by Jiva Goswami as a party. They would take all the books of the Goswamis to Bengal, get it, distribute them, copy them, make them copies and all of that. And then that's another pastime. So Jiva Goswami was so influential, so very, very important Vaishnava in our Gaudiya Parampara. In fact, today also in Banaras, there is an entire department, Banaras Hindu University, that whole department to study only Jiva Goswami's books. He has composed original 4 lakh Sanskrit verses, more than 25 books, and is like unbelievable. And such humility, such devotion. And Radha Damodar Temple is where Srila Prabhupada stayed for 6 years to write the first canto of Bhagavatam, which he took to America. So he would be there getting. There is Samadhi of Rupa Goswami there, Samadhi of Jiva Goswami there. So he was in that presence of this amazing Vaishnavas, their blessings. Srila Prabhupada also distributed Krishna consciousness all over the world. Sri Jiva Goswami Prabhupada ki jai. So these two special personalities are embodying this purport sentence which actually inspired. That's a very beautiful line. I'll just read that again. No one within the universe is without a relationship with Krishna. We all have a relationship with Krishna. And how is Krishna? How we have a relationship with Krishna? Okay. If you want to see, if you want to have a relationship with Krishna who is present in the form of deity outside, or we want to have a relationship with Krishna who is apparently outside, look at the paradox. To have a relationship with Krishna, we have to first connect with Krishna who is in the heart. Krishna is there as Paramatma, right? So, and in the Bhagavatam, there is a beautiful description of Krishna in the heart. How he is, what dress he is wearing. I mean, just imagine. And the whole Bhagavatam explains the Lord in the heart. There is a chapter. You know, I think we have already covered that in the second canto only. So that, and you know, if you read that chapter, you will learn. You'll learn to have a relationship with Krishna who is in your heart. His features are described, his hairstyle is described, everything is described in detail. Prasanna Vaktram Nalinaya Tekshanam Kadam Bakinjal Kapishanga Vasasam Lasan Maharatna Hiran Mayangadam Suran Maharatna Kirita Kundalam. This is the Lord in your heart. You know who is the Lord? Prasanna Vaktram is always smiling. Half smile. Krishna is always smiling. He is in your heart and he is smiling. He is seeing you, what you are doing, what you are thinking, your desires. Prasanna Vaktaram Nalinaya Tekshanam. And his eyes are spread like beautiful lotus petals. And what else? Kadamba Kinjal Kapishanga Vasasam. His dress is described as dazzling yellow garments. And what else? Now, this is beautiful. Huh? Not only this much. Look at the details given in the Bhagavatam. Lasan Maharatna Hiran Mayangadam. He has got beautiful earrings dangling and Spuran Maharatna Kirita Kundalam. He has got a beautiful helmet also, beautiful, glowing, valuable jewels on his body. And not only that, Vibhushitam me kalayanguliyake mahadaner nupura kankanadibi snigdamala kunchitanila kunthale virochamananahasa peshalam. He is wearing a waist belt. That is also described. Me kalayanguliyake. And he has got rings. And nupura, kankana, all of those things are described. And his hairstyle, snigda malakun chitanila kun, he's got curly hair. Virocha mana nanahasa peshalam, got an enchanting smile. And then Sukadeva Goswami describes, why is Krishna in your heart like this? Why is Krishna standing like this? Because he wants to have a relationship with you. And there he says, please understand, this Krishna who is in your heart, in my heart, is doing this because adina leela hasite kshanolasad brubanga samsochita bhuranugraham iksheta chinta mayamenam ishwaram yavan manodharana yavatishthate. He says these are adina leela. The Lord is in your heart as Paramatma because this is his magnanimous pastime. And his eyebrows are also described. Krishna's eyebrow, it is said, if you meditate, then you will never have problem of lust. Bhru banga samsochita bhur anugraham. This is Krishna's anugraha on us, that he has come and he has situated himself in our heart as Paramatma and is giving up this darshan. You may say, acha, wait, Krishna is inside. He is dressed in all of this. Okay, I want to connect, I want to have a relationship with this Krishna. Then what should I do? Iksheta chinta mayamena meeshwaram. Sukadeva Goswami says, meditate on this form of Krishna. Okay, I meditate. I see this form. Okay, Krishna has this, all this belt, his hairstyle, his eyebrows. Then what should I do? How long should I remember this form? Yavan manodharana yavatishtate. As long as you can meditate on this form of Krishna who is in your heart as Paramatma. You may say, theek hai, ye sab tek, aapne sab de diya, abhi last how. You know, in ISKCON, we always keep asking how. Anything you say, after the class, they'll say, how to do this. So, okay, now how to meditate on Krishna, who is in the heart. So then there's a beautiful verse. This is like a take home verse from Bhagavatam today. So Sukadeva Goswami says, how do we meditate on Krishna who is in our heart? Ekai kashongani dhyanu bhavayet padadiyavad hasitam gadabhrita jitam jitam sthanam apoya dharayet param param shudyati dhiryatayatha. Ekai kashongani dhyanu bhavayet means ek-ek karke ek-ek angom pe meditate karo. Ekai kashongani dhyanu bhavayet. How do we go up? Padadiyavad hasitam. From the lotus feet, come up towards the smile of the Lord. What will happen if we do this? Jitam jitam sthanam apoya dharayet. As you go up in the meditation, like that, you will conquer over your lower nature. Param param shudyati dhiryata yata. As you increase your meditation, like that, yata yata, like that, your consciousness will get purified. This is the whole. Bhagavatam is giving us everything of how to have a relationship with Krishna who is in our heart. Then we will be able to have very meaningful and effective relationship in our world outside of us. So Krishna is there in the heart. And what is he doing? He is watching us. Will we turn to him or not? Imagine like this. Imagine you are sitting like this. Imagine on your left side is your huge mind. Mind, intelligence and ego combination. We'll call it mind. Itna das put lamba, and he's shouting rah, 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 constantly, and you are listening to him attentively. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Whatever he says, we obey, right? This is a mind. But on our right side, who is there? Krishna, smiling, waiting for us to, and our mind, our head is turned here. So whole Bhagavatam class, chanting, whatever we are doing is ultimately, what is the purpose? Mundi ko hilane ka. We are supposed to come and see Krishna. And Krishna will not, Krishna is there. He's just waiting for us to take that first step. Then Krishna will embrace us. But we want to embrace the mind. And actually we are not the mind. Mind cannot even touch you. Mind cannot harm you. But Krishna is watching everything. You know, it's like that CCTV camera is on. You know, what happens when the TV camera is on? And if you know that the camera is on, what happens? You don't do anything wrong, right? Like I remember many years ago, one devotee came from America. That time, mobile phones nobody had. And video cameras were also very rare. So he was making a film on Chaupati Temple. It was called Simple Temple. We didn't know the impact of that film then. But we would be surprised. Whole day we would be going around with this video camera everywhere. Everywhere we would be going with this video camera. I remember once I was sleeping in the temple hall at night, morning, 4 o'clock, when I woke up, I suddenly see this camera is on me. His name was Arjun Parker, I think. Arjun. I don't remember his full name. I don't remember his name. Very, very beautiful film he made, Simple Temple. So sometimes, you know, we're all in the common bathroom and he's there also with the camera. So I remember, you know, every day Mangalarti we are chanting in front of the deities at 5 o'clock. And sometimes every day you attend Mangalarti, you know, sometimes it gets mechanical. Like you are, Hare Krishna, you are just chanting, dull. And then one day I was like that only, dull, and morning Mangalarti is going on. Suddenly I see in front of me comes this camera. As soon as I saw him, Hare Krishna. Immediately I became very conscious, very prayerful. It happens with all of us. And the camera we see, immediately we become, Hare. Yes, Prabhu, the best behavior comes out. So today we can go back with this meditation that, yeah, I saw CCTV camera under hai, jo kabhi off nahi hota hai. And Krishna is watching. Everything we are desiring, all our aspirations is watching. He's there. He's just waiting for us to tell him once, Krishna, I love you. Krishna, I want to come back to you. See, personality and character, the difference you know, right? Personality is what? What the world thinks of us. Character is what we really are. So this world talks about personality, but Krishna wants to see the character. And character is, personality is developed when you are with people. How we talk and all of that. Character is developed when you do things when you are alone. Actually, you are never alone. CCTV camera is on. When character is developed when we do things, when we think we are alone. We are never alone. So when we are alone, so-called alone, that time camera is on. So if we remember Krishna, who is there with all these beautiful features, then, you know, Krishna is how he is in our heart. He is like that, you know, cars you have seen with those tinted glass. One who is inside, he can see what is happening outside. But we are outside, you can't see the person in the car. So Krishna is in our heart like that, tinted glass. So what we have to do now, see, we have to somehow, whenever we get time, whenever we become conscious of Krishna in the heart, we just have to offer up immediate prayer. Actually, prayers is a way we connect with, we revive our relationship with Krishna. Like, you know, why prayer is important? Because when we offer prayers, all those spiritual weak thoughts are there, which have no strength, which have no power, they suddenly start getting strength. Like, I'll give an example. See, according to scientists, there are, we human being on an average, we have 35,000 thoughts in a day. How many? 35,000 thoughts means what? Like, for example, you may say, Arey, Prabhuji ka class kabhi khatam hoga. That thought, the thought. Or, aaj breakfast mein kya hai? That is a thought. Arey, kal office ka ye kaam karna hai? That is a thought. Arey, bahut garmi ho raha hai, AC on karna chahiye? That is a thought. So we get all these thoughts. So in a day, can you imagine how much? 35,000 average thoughts, aisa fast aata hai. Usme kahin ek aisa bhi thought aata hai. Krishna, I really, really want to have a relationship with you. Aisa aata hoga, phir chala jata hai. Aisa aata hai na, beech beech mein kabhi aayega, Krishna, I want to be sincere. But those thoughts are very, very weak. They don't have power because they're just gone. But if we pause and follow what Bhagavatam is saying, meditate on Paramatma, prayer to Paramatma, then these thoughts, suddenly then we are zooming into this one thought which is out of 35,000 thoughts which is just going away. We are just pausing. And then that gets energy. So therefore, we need to see Krishna in our heart. And there are many ways of seeing. There are like some techniques also I can share. And then maybe we can have one or two questions. I'll just share one technique which I learned. Very beautiful. So I was with Amarendra Prabhu in Atlanta 2 years ago. So he was sharing something beautiful. So we were sitting together in our So he plays this game. So I learned that game, and I also play. I have shared it with many of my friends. So you can do this anytime, and you can have a relationship with Krishna instantly. So what we were in the dining table. So Amarendra Prabhu said, let's play this Krishna game, Krishna connection game, relationship with Krishna game. So what is that? So we were all in the, so he said, you see anything? So that time I had kept, Amarendra Prabhu had kept his notes. He had this like this clip and paper was there. Anything you see? So I said, I see this clip. And this paper clip. So he said, okay. Now, all of us here will have to share something Krishna conscious based on this clip. Prabhuji, start karo. So I'm waiting, minute. So he said something which helps us connect with Krishna. There has to be either philosophy, pastime, something should be there. I was suddenly caught. And I said, give me a second. So I paused. Then I said, achha hai. This like stops paper, na? Paper ko rokta hai. So I said, similarly, Lord Chaitanya, I remembered one verse. Durdeva Vasha Bhakta Yadi Jaya Anistane. Sei Prabhu, Sei Thakur Danya Tare Chule Dariyane. Oh, Mahaprabhu holds the shika of his devotee Kalakrishna Das and pulls him back. So I said, this is like Mahaprabhu's grip is like the clip. You know, he grips, that's why we keep shika, so that Lord can hold us. So then, like that I shared. So then it was Amarendra Prabhu's turn. So he said, so that clip was green color. Pura green tha. He said, this is reminding me of the color of Lord Ram. And then, you know so many verses. So he chanted a few verses glorifying Lord Ram's complexion. So like that, everybody was sharing something from the philosophy or from the pastime. So then we were basically, we are learning to see Krishna in the world we are living in. You getting this? Like I remember after that, it was his turn. So I said, okay, what object do you see? So he saw this glass. So glass ke upar bolna hai. So then it was my turn to speak. I said, glass mein, kya abhi, main bola dekho, glass. I gave very philosophical, dry, speculative, Krishna conscious understand. I said, glass is, we use this to drink milk. We can't drink milk just like that. We need a glass to hold the milk. Similarly, Krishna prem is milk, but we can't just get Krishna prem. We need support system. We need varanashram, grihastha ashram, brahmachari ashram. So this glass represents support system for getting Krishna prem. So then I asked Amarendra Prabhu, what do you think? So he said, he gave a very beautiful purport. He said, Krishna drinks milk. We drink milk with a glass, but sometimes Krishna is so attracted to please his cows who are his dear devotees that he directly drinks milk from the udder of the So he went on to explain that also in great detail. So you're getting what I'm saying? You see different objects, different people, different things, and then get some Krishna connection. It cannot be done intellectually. It's not an intellectual exercise. The whole idea is, ultimately, it has to come from the heart. See, the idea is, we are in a material world, right? So here, everything should remind us of Krishna. See, when we're with Krishna, we don't have to remember material world. Mango. See, when you see mango, do you see, are mango mil gaya? Do you see, are mango ka reflection ka hai? Mango ka reflection dekha. Do you say like that? But if you see, if you're not able to see the mango, and you see the reflection of the mango, when you see the reflection of the mango, what do you immediately say? Arey, the mango kidhar hai? Right? But when you are having the mango, you don't see the reflection. Similarly, when we are in the spiritual world, we will not need all this. But right now, we are in the material world, dealing with material energy all the time. So we need to somehow connect it to Krishna. Somehow connect it to our relationship with Krishna. So we can try this. And then we will see a tangible relationship with Krishna evolve through prayers, through Srimad Bhagavatam, and through overall devotional activities. I will pause here. If anybody has any questions or comments, we can take now for a few minutes. Hare Krishna. I see one hand here. Yes, Prabhu. And then after you, I'll take your question. Yes, Prabhu. You are asking to describe Paramatma's voice from within. How to understand that voice? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Prabhuji, can you kindly elaborate more on the
voice of Paramatma?
How to identify and how to distinguish it from other voices?
Like the mind's voice, you know?
This is a common question, but I would like to know your thoughts and your experiences about this.
Yeah. Jitatmana prashantasya paramatma samahita. Krishna says, without controlling the senses, we cannot really hear Krishna's voice in the heart. In the sense, we will always, mind knows how to come to the back door also.
You know, sometimes devotees say, Prabhuji, my mind is so troubling me, I'm so fallen. Sometimes that lamentation is also mind only talking. mind knows how to come through, you know, different ways. But we need to understand the difference in the, first of all, let us understand intellectually the difference in the voice of Paramatma and mind. So remember, I gave the example, on your left side is huge mind, right? Right side is Krishna. So what is mind's voice? Mind's voice is loud, fast, and attached. Get up. When you're chanting, the mind will say, get up and check your WhatsApp. Now, now, now. And the mind is attached. That is loud, fast, and attached. Krishna's voice is soft, slow, and detached. So what happens to many of us? We hear sometimes when you're chanting after 16 rounds, soft voice, Krishna's voice. Chant extra. And then immediately the mind says, oh, abhi ko phone karna hai, wo karna hai, ye karna hai, wo karna hai. And yes. And then what does Krishna do? Theek hai. Krishna is waiting. He will always wait for you to come back. And then we get busy with the mind's order. And then we feel, end mein, are yaar, dil khushi nahi hai. Because you're not turned to Krishna. So what we need to do is, first of all, slow down. Pause. Slow down. Slow down your life. So I'll share one technique which will help you hear Krishna's voice in the heart, although our senses are not controlled, although we are disturbed. So to understand this technique, I have to explain one small concept of sound. This is very, very powerful. It has helped me so much. See, sound does form. Now, what I said just now, this is form. This is called sound form. In Bhagavatam, this is called Vaikari Vak. Vaikari is sound. Then there is subtler sound. Form, which is thought. It is Madhyama Vak. And there is something even subtler, feelings. Pashyanti Vak. So when you tell your family, or wife, or father, or mother, I am going to temple now. That is Vaikari Vak. That is a sound that you have created. That is, that sound as form. I am going to temple. But before saying that, you may have got a thought, I am going to temple. That sound may not be externally manifesting. It may not be coming out in the form of a sound. It may be in the thought form. So in the mind, you may have said, I am going to temple. But then it comes out, it was in Madhyama Vak, I am going to temple. And then you actually told, I am going to temple. That was Vaikari Vak. Got it? Now, there could be something deeper. Pashyanti Vak, where temple instills in you a sense of shelter. There is such a depth of home or safeness, belongingness with Krishna. So that drives you to have a thought, I am going to temple. And that comes out as, I am going to temple. So you are seeing this? Sound, thought, and feelings. Right? So when we pray to Krishna, we are generally communicating with the Lord at Madhyama Vak, not Vaikari. We are not saying, like, if all of us are standing here in front of Radha Gopinath and we say, Radha Gopinathji, how are you? I'm fine. It looks weird, right? If all of us are talking, Radha Gopinath, I love you. You are so beautiful today. You are dressed in such a gorgeous outfit. I think today Gaur Vilas Prabhu dressed you. No, today. You know, you are just talking to the Lord. You are offering prayers. But if everybody does in Vaikari Vak, it will become weird, right? So we are not comfortable. So how do we pray generally in Madhyama Vak, in thought form? We generally pray, and the mind, like we pray, Krishna, please help me. But this is not spoken. Are you getting what I'm saying so far? Now, look, remember this, very important. When we offer prayers in Madhyama Vak, you know, the whole idea is we want to offer prayers so that we can listen to Krishna's voice. But when we offer prayers in our thought form, what happens? Are you able to offer continuous, consistent, concentrated prayers for 10 minutes? You put an alarm. You try one day. Take your phone, put 10 minutes alarm and put the phone inside and start praying in the mind. And after 10 minutes, alarm will go up and suddenly you will realize, are mind kahan gaya? Aisa hota hai? I'll tell you my own experience. Some days back I was praying. One of my friend's son is getting divorced. So his name is, I'm changing the name, Mangesh. Just, okay? So I said, Krishna, please help. This is, I'm not speaking this. I'm standing in front of the deities and I'm saying, after dressing, I'm saying,
Krishna, please help Mangesh and his wife. They are going through a divorce. They are very nice people. Please help them, Krishna. I began like this, a sincere prayer. But in which walk it is? Vaikari, Madhyama or Pashyanti? Madhyama walk. So I am praying, Krishna, please help them. But I am not speaking those words loud. It is in the mind. But because the mind is very fast. When you are in the thought world, mind can jump, mind can run. So I began like this, Krishna, please help them. And then suddenly the mind started speaking. Mind said, "Are, unka divorce na, because of that girl they are getting divorced. She is very unreasonable." And she is exactly like that lady. I knew one couple in London. So, uska wife ka dekho divorce ho gaya. That also divorce happened because of that girl only. She is at fault. So see, what has my mind done now? I am praying for someone sincerely. How much time it takes to go to London? 10 hours by flight. Now here the mind went in 1 second. So I am praying for Mangesh and his wife. And mind is now telling me, ye inka divorce ho ke rahega, kyunki wo lady vaisi hai, jaise wo London mein wo lady thi, vaisi. And then London ka wo jo lady hai na, my mind starts telling, no, actually I am praying in front of the Lord. And that mind is saying, oh, that lady, she looks exactly like your Bobby. Remember, she died in the scooter accident in 1991. So now the mind has gone, sat on a time machine and gone 30 years before. And remember the scooter ko bus ne mara tha. Are, Bombay mein bus drivers kitna bekar chalate hain. You see where the mind is going? And externally I'm like this. And devotees are thinking, kya Prabhuji pray kar rahe Bhagwan ko? Kya dil se pray kar rahe? Kya heartfelt prayer hai Prabhuji ko? Main aise khada hoon, mind ja raha hai, phir wo bus accident. But then I remembered how in 1991 I was going for this college, you know, Malhar festival from my home in Cuff Parade, and I was going by bus, double decker. And then I remember seeing a bike accident. So mind udhar chala gaya, wo bike accident. And that was outside the high court. Then the mind said, you know that outside the high court, you once saw a man running with a dragger filled with blood. Wo pura scene yaad aaya. Phir wo blood ka pura dragger. And then I remembered one movie which I had seen where the hero was running, you know, when I was in college. I had gone to a movie where a hero was running with a dragger soaked in blood. Phir wo movie ka scene yaad aaya. Then the mind said, remember you had gone to see that movie with your 3 friends. Are, phir wo friends kahan hai? Ek Dubai mein, ek America mein, wo ek London mein. Ha, London mein to wo bhi hai jiska patni ka divorce ho gaya. Are, uska patni Mangesh. And then I came back to Mangesh. Pura dunya ghoom ke. And then, oh yeah, Krishna, wo Mangesh ka thora sambhal lena aap unko. So, you see this 10 minutes of prayer, the challenge. How will we listen to Paramatma's voice when the mind is constantly talking and we are trying to communicate with Krishna in Madhyama Vak? So, our Acharyas have given us a technique of communicating with Krishna through Vaikari Vak. That's why in all the Acharyas write their name in the bhajan. Because it has to be personal. So what? And Vaikari Vak, we cannot because people are talking. People are there around us. They will think, ek pagal aadmi hai kya? Kaun sab log aise baat nahi kar sakte Bhagwan ke samne? It will create a disturbance. So what we have a technique is we write. So when you are writing your prayer, it is basically Vaikari Vak. It is sound coming in the paper. That is a very good way of writing. Now let us say you are not comfortable writing, then you can try closing your room at home and communicate a prayer in sound form. Actually pray to Krishna. Krishna, please help me. First glorify Krishna. Like these verses we chanted today, describing Krishna's beauty. You can say, Krishna, today I heard in the Bhagavatam that you have beautiful slick hair, and you are dressed in yellowish garments, you have a beautiful waist. So these are praise. This is Bhagavatam verses ka translation, speak in your own words. In Vaikari Vak. So what I've seen many devotees, I've asked many devotees, their experience of offering prayers to Krishna in sound form, not in a public place, in a private space, either the journal mein itna nahi samjhega, but when you're actually physically offering prayers, you'll go through one of the 3 experiences. One is, many devotees feel weird. First time when they do it, they feel. Any guesses why they feel weird? Because they are actually talking to Krishna, but if you are talking to me, I will nod my head. I will also talk back. But here you are praying to Krishna, Jagannath's deity or whatever is there, and Lord is just like this only. So you feel a little weird. Ek kya chal raha hai? And also that reflects how deep within there is an atheist inside. So that is one next response. Some devotees, when they start offering prayers, they start crying profusely because that connection immediately happens. Many devotees have shared ki, pata nahi Prabhuji kaise pura,
And there's a third experience also, very, very interesting experience. When devotees start offering prayers to Krishna in Vaikari Vak, they start feeling panting. Just like if you run a long distance, then when you stand, what happens? So it's like, because subconsciously they know that they have been running for millions of lifetimes and now they have come in front of Krishna. So that prayer session lasts with a lot of huffing, panting, tiredness, but the relief, sense of relief of having come close to Krishna. So like this, we can try different ways. Journaling is a great way, offering prayers, investing our emotions in the prayers of Bhagavatam, and of course, devotional service. When we serve sincerely, hear Bhagavatam, then Krishna within the heart. Especially service is what purifies the consciousness. And in that mood, Krishna's voice can be heard. Is that okay? I'll take one last question. I'm sorry I kept you waiting here. Yeah. I'll repeat your question. You can go until the mic comes. Fame, yeah. Yeah.
So first of all, thank you so much for your class. You beautifully explained the genealogy of Jiva Goswami. It was interesting to know he has his roots in Karnataka, GSV.
So you're also GSV?
My mom's side.
Yes.
So thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. And you spoke about fame, that some people have a worth, a value to spread it on social media, and some people find their worth through social media. Prabhu, there's a thin line.
Yeah.
There's a very thin line. So even though some start on this line, on this side, there is a tendency to slip.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's true.
How do you stay on
how? This? How do you? We need association. We need to do this kind of churning. We need to come together. And we need to spend time performing activities which gives us that worth. You know, it's a thin line. That's why we need association. And very important, we need to learn to see Krishna in our daily life. We need to become Krishna conscious. That is the ultimate solution. Then Krishna reveals to us. There is no shortcut. See, what today's whole class discussion was, how to see Krishna in... See, basically to have a relationship with Krishna, we need to see Krishna. Even the social media, for example, Madhavendra Puri used fame to serve Krishna. So, that social media you could use if you have talent for serving Krishna. But therefore, if you are Krishna conscious, then you won't get trapped. You see? Like, you know, some of I have seen some devotees, you know, when they see anything mundane, material, they remember Krishna. And we may be with Krishna and we get material thoughts. Srila Prabhupada was in Paris. Hari Vilas Prabhu says this. They are on a morning walk. And, you know, people are going to office in their cars. It's Paris. You know what Paris is? A street of Paris, 1970s. And Srila Prabhupada stops because a breeze blows and Prabhupada says, ah, this is Vrindavan. So Hari Vilas Prabhu is saying, I'm in Paris and Prabhupada is remembering Vrindavan. We may be in Vrindavan and thinking of Paris. So we have to learn to see Krishna in our day-to-day life. Like, you know, Srila Prabhupada was in Australia. So there is in traffic signal, there is a huge advertisement board. And it is there even today. It was called Paramatta. So Prabhupada saw that and spontaneously he removed the A and he said, Pramatta, Nunam Pramatta Kurute Vikarma. He started chanting Bhagavatam verse. Immediately. And the same place, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj was also there a few years ago. And they stopped. And Jayapataka Maharaj Swami also saw that same word, Paramatta. And he even saw and he said, Paramatta. The greatest mother, the original mother is Srimati Radharani, and he offered a prayer to Srimati Radharani. Same thing. You getting it? Like, you know, in West, they have a very popular brand, GAP, Gap. And many t-shirts also I see, GAP, Gap. So once this Olinaya Shri Jayapataka Swami Maharaj saw that, one devotee had a t-shirt, Gap written. And Maharaj immediately, GAP, Gap, Govindam Adi Purusham. So, I'm just saying, spontaneously, you know, Amarendra Prabhu was once saying, his Guru Maharaj, His Holiness, Srila Radha Govinda Swami Maharaj, when he went to America first time, now Maharaj used to use Datun, you know, from a simple devotional village background. So, in America, when he went to this devotee's house, they had kept Listerine for mouthwash,
So there are two bottles. One was yellow and one was blue. So when he was nearing that bathroom area, there was two Listerine bottles. And Radha Govind Maharaj saw that. And immediately he said, looking in the direction, he offered pranam. Because that blue thing, that see, the devotee said, Maharaj, kya ho gaya? He said, nahi, ye Krishna varan hai aur ye Radha Rani ka varan hai. So he remembered Radha and Krishna. And then they were going for a program and they saw one advertisement. Nursing home tha. So Maharaj said, oh, nursing home. Yahan pe Narsingh Dev ka worship hota hai. Narsingh home. So he saw, so like that, you know, spontaneous. Aisa nahi ki ye sab, it's not a clever play of words. What I'm saying is these are all inspirations for us to learn to see Krishna. Mukunda, when he went to see that king, he was a doctor. And the king was being, there was a fanning going on, na? Chamar Seva was going on. So Mukunda saw that Chamar and he remembered Krishna. So we may not be at that level, but we have to learn to be Krishna conscious. Then that thin line, what we are talking about. See, because some things, na, many of us are looking for techniques. Prabhuji, kut technique batao. Technique nahi hai, shortcut nahi hai. We have to learn through trial and error, most of the things. Like smartphone. How many of you use smartphone? Everybody. I should have said, how many of you don't use smartphone? Okay, now smartphone, na, when I first got it many years ago, I didn't know how much to use it, how to use it. I caught once myself spending an inordinate amount of time on the smartphone and then I realized, kya chal raha hai? Then I went to the other extreme, bilkul use nahi karunga. Then I saw my services were getting a little impeded. So through trial and error, now I know how much to use, how much not to use. But now I have some other challenges. The point I'm saying is, we learn many things through trial and error, practice. So as you become more Krishna conscious, we learn. Otherwise, you know, how to do this? Uska answer nahi hai. I'll end with this very important point. I learned it the hard way. You know, I used to preach sometime in North Bombay for some years. So I remember in the weekly class, I spoke about chanting. And that time I had a trend of beginning the class with questions. Like, because I said Bhagavatam begins with questions. So let us have our class beginning with question and then we will have the proper class. So last week a class ke bare mein ek question pucha. Prabhuji, you spoke about chanting. How to chant? Actually, so I said chanting has to be done attentively. Then I spoke about listening to one Mahamantra and all of that. So then next week class, somebody said, Prabhuji, last week you spoke about listening to Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But mind wanders so much. So how to catch the wandering mind? Are you seeing this? How to? So I said, oh, mind ko wander se rukna hai na, so you should do sattva guna practices. Sattva guna ke upar bahut class diya maine, pura lamba. So next week somebody said, Prabhuji, how to be in sattva guna? Mind is always in rajoguna. So then in that class I spoke about sattva guna mein aane ke liye breathing karo, breathing. Pause, breathing. Fir uske next class mein kisi ne pucha, Prabhuji, apne breathing ka bola, breathing ka bahut mind wander hota hai. Focus nahi, concentrate nahi kar pata, kya karna chahiye? I said, chant Hare Krishna. So the next class, somebody said, Prabhuji, you spoke about chanting last time, so how do we chant Hare Krishna? You saw, pura ek cycle ho gaya. How to, khatam hi nahi hoga. So Niranjan Maharaj says in ISKCON, we have what is called as how to do it questions. Maharaj, how to become humble? So Maharaj said, when somebody asks me how to become sincere, I tell them, you become sincere by becoming sincere. Because that is a how to do it question. So he said, the answer to all how to do it questions is, you do it by doing it. But of course, I understand your predicament. We all go through this. We need some practical techniques. So we try to discuss some of it today here. But at some point of time, we need to embrace uncertainty. We are living at times when we want everything. Clarity is the name of the game. Everybody wants clarity. Everybody wants certainty, right? But many things will be uncertain in bhakti also. Many things will be unclear. It is our journey. It is our relationship with Krishna. Aajkal, if you are supposed to meet your friend at bus stop at 10:30, from 9:30 you start texting each other. Abhi nikal raha hu ghar se. Abhi tum kahan hai? You know, we just. But when we were young, I would wait at the bus stop. My friend has not come. Then I would have a book to read for 15 minutes. Then again, I would go to the PCO, call him. He's home. Nobody is picking up the phone at home. Then I come back to the bus stop, eat for 15 more minutes. Then go to the place that I'm supposed to go. Uncertainty, lack of clarity was part of life. Now every time, everything we want to know, certainty. So easily how to do it, questions are very, very rampant. So some things you learn. The thin line between using social media for sharing our worth and deriving worth from social media, that we will learn as we become more Krishna conscious. I hope I have answered your question. Thank you. We'll stop here. Thank you very much for kind attention. Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki.